for the scripture reading. Today's scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 9, 27 to 30. Matthew chapter 9, 27 to 30 reads, "As Jesus went out from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, 'Have mercy on us, son of David.' When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' 'Yes, Lord,' they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, 'According to your faith, let it be done to you.' And their sight was restored." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Church, please be seated. Now let's invite Pastor Li Kai for today's message.
Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to commit this time unto you. May you open our heart to receive the word from you. As you speak to us, may our heart turn to you and strengthen our will to follow you. Go beyond our own failings. You extend your grace right now to every of us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We theme the sermon today as according to your faith. According to your faith. A number of years ago, I visited an elderly. He just received Christ and was new to his faith. And yet, he got this nasal cancer. Chinese is called Bi Qiang Ai. I think it's nasal cancer. So it was quite a bad cancer that, even though he's a new believer, he's still very faithful and trusting the Lord for healing. And he attended this healing service every Saturday at this lighthouse. He went there with great expectation that the Lord will heal him. So every week he went. So when I visited him, I asked him how he was. And how is he coping with his cancer? And he looked quite downcast, and he said that my faith is not strong enough to be healed. My faith, he blamed himself for not being healed because the time when I visited him, he was still not healed. I was quite caught in dilemma, and I don't know how to respond to him because at one time, I feel that I want to cheer him on to trust the Lord. But on the other hand, I also do not know how to help him to respond to the reality that he was still not healed after attending this healing rally for so long. I'm not sure if you were me, how would you respond to him? How would you say to this young believer who went to healing rally weekly, faithfully, trusting the Lord for healing, and yet he was not healed? And today we're going to talk about the story of these two blind men who desperately seeking Jesus to be healed. And yes, their faith was there and they was ultimately healed. But the key question is the reality that we see that every patient who seek the Lord for healing, are they all healed? I think it's definite no. Not everybody who sought the Lord for healing, all of them are healed. And how do we respond to this healing? And where does faith take place? And when the healing does not happen, and where do we point our finger to? Is it because of our faith not strong enough, or are we not desperate enough to seek the Lord? So today we're going to look at this first point, the desperate cry of the blind man. As you look at the verse we just read, we saw that these two blind men, they heard about Jesus, they followed him and calling him. Before this story, you know that this Jesus just came out from this Jairus' house. He raised his daughter from death. So most likely the crowd grew bigger because, you know, the name of Jesus' reputation, it grew bigger and bigger as he performed miracles, raised a lady, the daughter from the dead, and healed the paralytic and even the woman who suffered from hemorrhage. All these things draw a lot of crowd to him. So the blind man probably had thought that this is my golden opportunity. Since Jesus has performed so many miracles, now is my chance. I could not miss it. But how could a blind man go to Jesus? This hemorrhage woman and this Jairus man and also this paralytic, at least they can, in a way, go to Jesus with their sight fine, open to see. But over here, we see that this blind man, they don't have the sight to seek Jesus. And there's no pavement like what we have today, the yellow pavement with the dots there to guide you. And even if the pavement are there, there are probably potholes and probably they may stumble and fall. And moreover, the crowd is so huge that people may just crowd around and you may push around and probably you may fall along the way. all you could do is probably to beg someone who can see to bring you to Jesus. And like usual, most people just walk past them and nobody stopped, care enough to stop by and ask, can we help you to bring you to Jesus? I don't think anybody by that time in the crowd would care enough for this blind man to bring them to Jesus. But there's nothing could stop them, this blind man, to get to Jesus. Because if they miss this chance, they may not have another chance. So they have to get out from the comfort zone, the familiar spot they've been used begging money for. So they try to catch up with the crowd. And maybe along the way, one of them probably trip and fall. And he quickly picked himself up. And the other one probably slammed into the crowd, not able to see. So he just staggered recklessly with knocks and bruises along the way. Because they fear if they're a bit slower, they may miss out Jesus. And that was how desperate these blind men were. Surprisingly, we know that no matter how loud the crowd was, if Jesus could hear the whispering thought of the hemorrhaged woman previously, Jesus could definitely hear this crying of this blind man. They call out, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus definitely could hear them. But we didn't see Jesus turning back or stopping for them. And we may question, is Jesus too busy for them? Or are these two blind men not a significant figures to worth Jesus' attention? Or is Jesus trying to draw some lesson out for them to keep calling this blind man, or for them to keep calling without responding to them? I think in one of the lessons we can draw is at times when we pray, and God may seem quiet, may not respond to what we've been praying for. Will you stop praying? Or will you be like the desperate blind man, keep shouting and running to Jesus without giving up? As this blind man stagger into the crowd, they cry out. They cry out what? Son of David, have mercy on us. Son of David, have mercy on us. The word Son of David, it aligns in Matthew chapter 1 in the genealogy of Jesus being the Messiah, the Son of David. When they called the name Son of David, they understood who Jesus was because he was the promised one in Genesis, the seed of the woman who's going to deliver the world from sin. Probably from the stories of what Jesus did, the miracles, they put the pieces together and know this Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one to come. And they beg for, and they call for mercy. The word mercy in the Bible is sometimes being having the idea of favor, having the idea of grace. It shows an inferior person seeking the help of a superior person, asking for a pardon, asking for a favor. So when the blind man called Jesus as Son of David, they knew that he was the Messiah, the King, who holds all authority of this world. And they knew that they were undeserving. That's why they asked for mercy. I think a story in Luke chapter 18 gives us a very beautiful picture of what it means to be calling Jesus for mercy. Let's read this verse in Luke 18, 1, 2, 3. Two persons coming before God. One is a Pharisee, one is a tax collector. The Pharisees never seen that he need mercy because he never feel the need for it. Because he looked at his own goodness. He fasted twice a week. He gave a tenth of his tithing. And he did a lot of things that God expected of him. I think he's good enough. He earned everything. So I don't think he need any mercy. He's self-sufficient. Grace is giving you what you do not deserve. And mercy is withholding from you what you deserve, which is the wrath of God. So grace is giving you what you're not deserving, and mercy is withholding what you deserve, which is the wrath of God. So this blind man rightly understood who Jesus was when they called him Son of David, have mercy, because they seen themselves as sinners in need of God's mercy. In the book of Titus, chapter 3, it says, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. God saved us not because what, how good we are. It's how bad we are. That's why He, out of His mercy, He saved us. So this blind man understood Jesus as He is a God of mercy. He is merciful to sinners and extend grace to those undeserving. Second point, we come to see the sovereign healing hand of Jesus. When they came to Jesus, Jesus brought them indoor and Jesus asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, they replied. When Jesus asked them this question, do you believe? It sounds a bit redundant because if they do not believe, why would they risk staggering into the stumbling into the crowd, knocking around, tripping along, crying out for Jesus? Jesus should have known their heart that they already had faith. But we see the question that Jesus put here, that asking them, do you believe? I think the point is faith need to be articulate. Faith need to be articulate. Let's read Romans chapter 10. 1, 2, 3. You see, we don't just believe in our heart and that's it. And God wants us to confess with our mouth. Confession of our faith is a way to prove our faith is genuine. It's needed to do in such a confession. Let's see when Jesus asked them, do you believe? They say, yes, Lord. And we come to the crux of this matter today. And He touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. And what does Jesus mean when He said, according to your faith? Does that mean that the measure of faith will determine the result? Does God still heal when there's no faith or even when the faith is not strong? I think a tougher question is to ask, when God does not heal, what is the issue's lies? Is it because of faith or any other thing? What is the faith needed for healing to take place? I'm going to present two sides of the coin. I hope that I can be clear in presenting two sides. What the Bible talks about faith and healing. I think there's a part in the Bible, or there are instances in the Bible that miracles did not happen due to the lack of faith. I think in the story when Jesus returned to His hometown to preach, to share the gospel, to preach in the synagogue, people in the hometown do not believe Him and take offense of Him because they knew Him since He was young. So in Matthew, He said that Jesus did not perform any miracle because of the lack of faith. In Mark also, He could not do any miracles there except lay His hand on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed of that lack of faith. So this is one side of the coin, that Jesus did not perform the miracle because of the lack of faith. The other side of the coin, that God still performs miracle even when there's a lack of faith. If you know the story of the invalid man at the Bethesda's pool there, in John chapter 5, this man was laying there, waiting for the angels to stir the pool so that he can go down to the water and be healed. But no, when Jesus approached him, he explained to Jesus that no one hold him to the water, to the pool. And that's why he's still lying down there. And he has been invalid for 38 years. Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? He didn't say he wanted to be healed. He just explained the reason. And Jesus, did He heal him? Jesus healed him without him showing any sign of faith. And worse still, when they were asked him, how was it healed? He didn't even know who Jesus was. So we can see the healing take place regardless of the presence of faith or even knowing Jesus. So we have two sides of the coin. I'm going to bring out this, highlight this word faith movement or the word of faith movement or the somebody call it name it, claim it. Probably you've heard it before. It's a teaching that emphasizes the power of word, that declaring it by faith, it can shape reality. That means that your word filled with faith can bring positive outcome about God's promise. If you think positive thoughts, if you have enough faith, then your prayer will be answered. That God will bless you with health, with wealth, with happiness. And this is a false teaching. The false teaching that appeals to the man's inner desire. They present a false view of God. They are telling you that God wants to bless you with health and wealth, but He cannot do so unless you have faith in Him. Therefore, can you see the logic behind that? God ultimately is not in control. It is you who is in control. Your great faith can manipulate God to give you what we ask for. And such teaching is very much connected to idolatry. If you remember the story of Elijah battling with 450 prophets at Mount Carmel with this false god Baal. Let's read this story together. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Such will be the result for us. When God does not answer prayer, we'll push ourselves harder. We probably pray louder, cut ourselves, or may not be with salt, maybe with other things. We spear even the blood flow. We can see that when we are not God not answering our prayer, we can use all sorts of things to force God to answer to our prayer. We have more faith to give more, to attend more services, to serve more, to involve in this and that, in a way to make God answer our prayer. To give us what we want. This is called idolatry worship. Is this the God that we worship? I went to my friends, my TTC friends, classmate, his wife passed away 2 years ago. I went to attend a wake. His wife got cancer. The very day that they received the news, the wife got cancer, the whole church has been praying for their wife because he's a pastor's wife. So the whole church has been praying for the wife. For healing. Ask the Lord to heal her wife and my friend. He also pray for miracles to happen. His wife has been battling cancer for some time. And one day the wife told his husband with a smile on her face. She said that I'm okay to leave. I'm okay to leave. Let me go with the Lord. Let me go. The wife just told the husband, stop praying for me and let me go with the Lord. Someone being healed miraculously of cancer was a powerful testimony. Likewise, this lady's testimony is as powerful as the one being healed also, because she has manifested great faith and assurance of where she is going after death. So what is faith? What is faith? And often people place faith in faith itself. That means, I believe, I believe, I believe. When you cry louder, I believe, it seems that you have faith. But there is a difference between faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the faith in faith. When faith in faith itself turns into a form of, in the sense of magic, that means that by believing what we want to believe, we will have enough faith and we get what we want. Do you understand the logic? By believing what I want to believe, I will surely get it. It's a way of placing the demand on God that you must heal me because I have faith. You treat faith as a lever to pull God and get what we want. And at the end, ultimately, we became God ourselves. And what should be the right kind of faith? Let's read this statement together. 1, 2, 3. Faith rests not on particular outcome, but in God Himself as our God, good, powerful, all-knowing, and loving Father. So faith is not based on the outcome of what you ask for, but on who God is, the attribute of God. Therefore, when Jesus said, according to your faith, it does not refer to the quantity, to the quality, to the degree of your faith, how much faith you have, then how much healing you receive. Having faith in Jesus means that we believe that He has a power to heal, and that's it. Does faith play a part in this healing? I think yes. If the blind man do not have faith, the blind man will not leave the comfort zone to go to Jesus. If the blind man do not have faith, they will not risk stumbling into the crowd blindly to follow him into the room. If the blind man do not have faith, they will not stop crying for Jesus. Even Jesus did not respond to them immediately. So faith, in a way, does play a part in this healing. Let's read this statement together. Faith is key in receiving His healing power. But our faith is not the power behind healing. It is simply the channel to receive the grace of God through His healing. So faith is just a channel. It's not the power behind healing. No matter how much faith you had, your faith don't have power. It's just like when we put our faith in Jesus Christ on the cross, receive His grace of salvation. It is not your faith that gives you salvation. It is just a channel to receive the salvation from God. So take note here, who is the one granting the healing here? It is still Jesus. Jesus holds the authority to heal or not to heal. That's why when Jesus asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? How do they respond? They say, yes, Lord. I think this is a very key word to show us the attitude they approach Jesus. They express faith and they come with the right attitude to Jesus. The faith was not in the power of faith itself, but rather in the submission to the Lord Jesus, acknowledging that Jesus is the Lord, that He is ultimately the one who holds the authority, and they are submitting to His authority. So as you earnestly seek His healing, are you also able to submit to His authority that He is the Lord and trust in His goodness despite circumstances or outcome? Therefore, as much as faith plays a part in this whole story, but God still holds the ultimate authority in this healing. I think we want to ask this question, should we still pray for healing then, since God holds the ultimate authority? I think the answer is definitely yes. Because as we seek the Lord, God delights when we seek the Lord. It stirs up faith. So how should we come to God to pray for healing? How should we come to God to pray for healing? We want to draw three principles. How should we approach God, come to God to pray for healing? We believe God heals through medicine. We want to trust God through the use of medicine. We know that all knowledge and creations come from the Lord. And God gave wisdom and understanding to doctors to prescribe medicine for us for the healing of our body. Secondly, we trust God through supernatural intervention. We believe that God still heals today. God still performs miracles today. I'm not sure any of you guys know this man in Singapore. He's quite famous during my days. I'm not sure about your days. He's called Gurmit Singh. He's in my olden days when he's very popular in a TV sitcom called, you know the show? Phua Chu Kang. Yeah, you know the show is Phua Chu Kang. The Singlish that he say Phua Chu Kang. He shared a testimony a few days ago only, this week. Few days ago, you can go to the YouTube. The name is called Broken to the Core. Gurmit Singh. Gurmit Singh's mom was down with cancer, stage 4, stomach cancer, stage 4. The doctor said to Gurmit that your mom only left with 6 months or lesser to live. The cancer has spread, so it's just telling them, prepare for your mom's funeral. So that year, Gurmit just came to know the Lord at the age of 19. He does not know really how to pray. He doesn't know the Bible much. He just simply tell God, God, if, he used the word if, he said without faith. He said, God, if you could let my mother live till I got married and have kids, can you? With a question mark. So even though as a new believer, he doesn't know how to pray with great faith or proclamation of faith, he just speak truthfully from his heart. Can you, God, heal my mom until I got married and have my kid? After a few days, he went back with his mom to the hospital to do the x-ray check how much the disease, the cancer has spread. And at that time, the doctor sat them down and said to Gurmit, he said that, I do not know what you are doing, but whatever you're doing outside, please continue to do so because the cancer is gone. I'm so sorry. As a doctor, I cannot explain this, but I can only call it a miracle. And so from now on, Gurmit's mom, who was supposed to die within 6 months, lived on another 16 years until Gurmit Singh got married and have his kids. We praise God for His wonderful, miraculous work. God still heals today, and He still uses His sovereign hand to perform miracles. I'm going to tell us the third principle. And there are times, and there will be time, when God does not heal. And what should we do then? Trusting God when there's no healing. As much as we want God for healing in our prayer, there are times when God has a higher purpose as He chooses not to. Two extremes we want to avoid. One extreme is we want to beat ourselves up, blaming ourselves for not having enough faith in God. I think this is one extreme we want to avoid. The other extreme is we turn bitter and deny God. This is the other extreme. I think in the New Testament, Paul prayed 3 times to have his thorn removed from him. Scholars believe that the thorn is probably his illness. I believe he prayed more than 3 times. It's just a description to tell that he'd been praying for many times. God did not answer his prayer to remove the thorns. Can we say that Paul is a man of little faith because God did not heal him? I don't think we can say that. Another story tells about Paul, his co-laborer. His name is Trophimus, if I pronounce correctly, Trophimus. He left him sick at a place. Paul has been healing so many people, performing so many miracles. Why can't he heal his co-laborer? Because the ultimate authority lies in God, it's not in Paul. It's not about healing. So he left his co-laborers there. A familiar story that we knew, that King David and Bathsheba having adultery and gave birth to a son. So the son was struck with illness. King David has been praying for the son, fasting for the son over the night, putting himself in sackcloth, refused to eat anything. And when the child died, the servant dare not tell David the news, because they fear David may do anything extreme or desperate. But you know what David did? Let's read this verse together. 1, 2, 3. If you love someone so dearly in your heart that you've been fasting for him, and at the end you did not get your answer prayer, it's never easy to get up from the ground. And sometimes you can lay beaten on the ground because you're so shattered. Why did God not answer my prayer and take away my loved one? It is a very difficult question for anyone to answer. Why God? But we see over here that David got up from the ground. He not just got up, he went in to worship. And what is worship? Worship is praising the Lord, submitting ourselves, praising Him, adore Him, even though we may not understand why the way that He does, but we still believe God is good all the time, that He is Lord and we are just His servant, even though we may not understand. So at the end, you want to check our heart. If we face a terminal illness, if we face some illnesses which can bring a great tension to your faith. And what should you do? I think there's no one size fit all for all who follow Jesus, because our faith in God may look different to different people in different settings. To one, the Holy Spirit may be quietly nudging you to ask you to pray for healing. Because why you're not praying for healing? Is it because you don't believe God can heal you? So probably to someone is to ask them to pray for healing. And maybe to another person, why not pray for endurance? Pray for a good testimony through your time of trial and to trust God for His grace. So to different people, God has His way to teach us to bear the cross. And we should check our heart and what motivates our prayer and why we pray as we do. If you are praying for healing, why? Why are you praying for healing? Are you demanding God that He must heal you? And what does such demand tell you about your heart, and which you are probably not aware of? We should be reminded of this blind man crying out, "Have mercy on me, have mercy on me," as they submit to the sovereign will of Jesus, that He is Lord and we are at His mercy. And if you are not praying for healing, and why not? Why you're not praying for healing? Is it because you fear of disappointment? You fear that if God does not answer your prayer, your whole faith will be shaken. Then the question is to ask, what then is your faith built upon? Is it built upon miracles, built upon what you can see? So the key thing is to check your heart. And there's probably a deeper lesson for us to learn beyond the getting healed or not healed for our illness. There's a short article written by a Singaporean. Go and Google and you can read these short articles. It's called Don't Waste Your Sickness. We believe nothing happens in random. God has certain things in His mind. So the article is very short reading. Don't waste your sickness. Read it when you're free. When we have certain sickness, it's good to really evaluate and check our heart. God, what do you want me to learn from this sickness? Other than getting yourself to be healed. Genuine faith aligns our heart to God's will rather than trying to manipulate God into conforming to what we want. Instead, we conform our hearts to God's heart to seek His purpose, to trust in His goodness, and submit ourselves to His Lordship despite circumstances. And God does still heal today and can certainly pray for healing. However, when God, in His unsearchable wisdom, chooses not to heal, and even if He does heal, all healing on this side of heaven is only temporal. Everyone will still face death one day. I think the key question is, do you know Jesus? Do you know where you're going after death? Do you have Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord? I think this is a key thing we have to answer. I will invite the worship team right now. We're going to sing this song, Your Grace is Sufficient for Me. If you are non-believers in our midst, I would want you to really consider, do you have Jesus in your heart as your Savior and Lord? Whether you have sickness or not, one day we'll leave, we'll depart from this world, and where your souls will go to. I know that among us, there are people who struggle with illnesses. And it is really hard in this journey because you're not sure when and how the Lord's going to deliver you. Nobody got the answers. But I think the song today reminds us, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Let's sing this song and look at the grace of God and ask for His grace to be upon our life. On our chair, and let's meditate with this song together. Your grace is sufficient for me.
Your grace is sufficient for me. Your strength is made perfect when I am weak. All that I cling to, I lay at your feet.
I will take this moment to open to the ground. Anybody who would like to be prayed for, maybe because of your illness, because of your physical ailment, probably things upon your heart have not been healed. We would like to invite you right now to the front. I'd like to invite deacons or elders in our midst, or even DGL in our midst. I want you to lay hand to pray for them. Anybody who feel that you want to be prayed for, maybe just physical illness, maybe your own struggles with some things that you've been asking the Lord to heal you, but so far until now, you felt that you're not fully recovered from it. I want to extend this moment. Anyone can just come forward. He'd like to pray for you. I'd like to invite DGL leaders, please come forward to pray. DGL and leaders, please come and pray. Surround our dear sister and pray for her. And where we are, we can still stretch our arms to pray for Jesse. For anyone who would like to come forward to be prayed for, do come right now. Let's pray together. Father, we need your grace. We need your grace. There are times that, Lord, we feel tired as we battle with illness, battle with issues in our life that we find hard to get over. Father, we look to your grace. We cling on to you. Help us, God. Help us, God. We believe you are a healer. We pray for healing upon Jesse. The Lord extend grace and grace upon her. It's never easy to battle this illness for so many years. More so, we need your grace to strengthen her, to journey with her and the whole family going through the roller coaster up and down. Father, your grace is sufficient for them. We thank you for all hope they've given us, that Lord, one day there'll be no more tears, no more illness. And this is the hope that we have and we cling to. We look to your hope, strengthen our faith to journey with you as we bear this cross you've given us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.